we lost sight of one important item. For years, people have been willing to serve without compensation on the Port Commission. This group of citizens has brought to that commission time, energy, expertise in business and labor, and contracts that have been instrumental in the development of the port and its contribution to the community. I don't believe we can ignore this. I think Alan Punch Green has been a great part of this. As far as the reappointment by Straub, there's a number of people that appointments that Governor Straub replaced or didn't reappoint, and that's certainly the governor's prerogative, but doesn't mean that there was some particular reason that he didn't reappoint Punch Green. And I think to even lead this body to believe that is unfair and grossly unfair to a man that's being considered before this body at this time. I recommend highly, Mr. President, the confirmation of Mr. Roy Punch Green.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Halleck. Recognize Senator Burbidge.
Thank you, Mr. President. I suppose that there's some confusion in your minds now. What's a little old suburb country boy like me doing involved in the argument about a port commissioner for the Port of Portland? I probably wouldn't be at all, except for some of the discussion and the way it's turned on the floor here. The very suggestion, as was just mentioned by the senator from Clackamas County, that politics is involved in some of these appointments is absolutely appalling. Mr. Green is not someone that's well known personally to me. I have had an opportunity to observe him as a industrialist and as a person who has given of his time to serve in various capacities for the state over the years, and I've known him in a couple of other capacities. But I know him mainly because I was called by a very good personal friend of mine and a person who's been a close political ally and a friend and who happens now to be the chairman of the Port of Portland. And in a discussion about some other matters, we discussed Mr. Green, and Mr. Lewis told me that Mr. Green had a great deal to offer to the city of Portland and to the state of Oregon and to the Port Commission. And if I felt so inclined, he thought it might be a nice gesture if I said a word to that effect. And so here I am. But I do believe that to make one's vote be based on something that occurred during a period that the man wasn't even serving on the port is a little bit of a stretch of the way one is to be directed with his votes down here, I guess. To suggest that politics is involved here, it leaves me with a great deal of mirth inside. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And again, in the interest of brevity and time, the chair now recognizes Senator Cook.
I certainly appreciate that the President recognizes pure quality. I've been pondering this proposal for a couple of days, having been contacted by people who both supported and opposed the appointment, and I really hadn't made up my mind as to exactly what I was going to do, although I must say that until reading the Oregonian of yesterday, I had intended to vote for Mr. Green. I want to just say a couple of things to explain the way I'm going to vote. Now, first of all, the expense account matter is a very bad thing. The only thing that can be said about it, there's no evidence it's any worse than any of the other directors of the port. And frankly, what I think should be done, and I was hoping some such suggestion would be made today, in order to clear the air, I think that some disinterested accountant or CPA, either in the Secretary of State's office or elsewhere, should be requested to conduct a complete audit of all of the expenses for all of the commissioners, including the executive director of the port during the past 4 years. And let's find out how much of an abuse there's been, if any. I understand the bookkeeping system there is so atrocious that when they tried to check it through, they couldn't figure out whether the expenditure was proper or not. If that's been changed, I'm pleased. If it hasn't, we should do something about it. I don't think it's really fair, in a sense, to pick out Mr. Green because of the expense account matter, since we haven't delved into the others. And I also understand it doesn't seem fair now to pick on him now as one of Governor Attia's appointees, when all of these facts, as I understand it, were known to our former governor before the end of his term, and our former governor chose to let him finish his term even with the knowledge of all of the things that were raised about Mr. Green as being reasons why he shouldn't be ratified this time. So I am not, while I'm concerned as a general proposition, I don't think Green is any worse than the rest of them on that score. Now, as to the political nature of the appointment, again, it's the same sort of deal. It's been aeons since we've had anything but political appointees on the Port of Portland. I think we ought to face that and change the system somehow, some way, maybe by election, which I am having a bill drafted to do that, to elect the port commissioners, maybe by some other system where we get away from this political system. I really don't think it's good for the port, good for the people of Multnomah and Clackamas and Washington County that their board of directors of the Port of Portland is made up by a bunch of politicized business people and union people. I do not think those should be the qualifications for being a director of the Port of Portland. But that seems to be it. It's like they talk about a judge. You know what a judge is? It's a judge who has a governor for a friend. Here we got a port commissioner is some businessman that has a governor for a friend and maybe contributed to his campaign. So I'm not concerned. I'm concerned, but that's not the reason why I'm thinking of, and probably will, vote against this confirmation. I'll tell you why I'm voting against it. And there's some inconsistency here because I only really started thinking about this seriously about yesterday. I did vote day before yesterday for the confirmation of Bill Love as a port commissioner. And it wasn't because, although it probably didn't hurt it any, because Bill Love and I graduated from the University of Oregon Law School in 1952. I remember he was third from the top, and I think I was about third from the bottom in the class. And he's a nice person. I've known him ever since. He's even contributed to my campaign a time or two. But that wasn't why I voted for him either. But, but really, in one sense, had I been thinking about it, I probably should have voted against his confirmation. Because there is and will be in the future a potential conflict of interest between Bill Love's interest as the operator and a member of the board of directors of Equitable Savings and Loan and his role as a commissioner of the Port of Portland. And to reiterate, it's a two-way conflict. On the one hand, there's the possibility that his major employer will be involved in a lending operation with someone who wants to develop something out at the port. That could create a conflict, which, if it went through, would reflect upon the port commissioner, and if it didn't go through, might result in a loss to the people of the port that we shouldn't have had to endure. On the other hand, there is this other problem, which I've mentioned before. As a result of one, and now there's a proposal to have two members of the port being directors and Equitable, we should not, under any circumstances, consider having any money by the port, and I don't know where else, be deposited with Equitable Savings and Loan, because there's clearly a conflict there. Now, that may not be good for us, because maybe they'll have the best rate of interest, but we're going to have to turn it down because of the clear conflict. Then the third thing, and both of these things that I've mentioned as to why I made a mistake in voting for my old friend Bill Love day before yesterday, also explain why I am going to and think I will vote against Punch Green's confirmation. Because now it's double in brass. Now we've got two members of the Port of Portland Commission out of nine. It's almost one-fourth of the members of the Port of Portland Commission are also involved in a potential conflict of interest in which they make up 2/13 of the votes on the Equitable Savings and Loan Board. Then there's the fact there are two of them. I guess in a way it's bad enough that you've got one member of one financial institution who's a member of the nine-member port. Now you got two members. And that's just going a bit too far. And I think that here's where I should consider that this is the only opportunity that the people of Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington County have in determining who's going to represent them in operating this important business establishment. And it seems to me that while I have nothing personal against Punch Green except for his photo, I wouldn't know him if I met him as I walked out of this chamber, and I've never been anywhere where he was serving cocktails or anything else. But I just think it is not in the best interest of the people of Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington County to have to be overrepresented in one financial institution. It's not in our best interest to aggrandize and increase this conflict of interest that we should be working to end rather than to foster as we do if we approve of this appointment.
Thank you, Senator Cook. I think the chair would only be fair and in advising the members of the Senate that may have luncheon engagements today that we will be going through the noon hour today. Is there further discussion? Senator Meeker.
Mr. President, the issue before this body is the selection of a man to serve on a public body. I would hope that the Senate would remember that the major reason the confirmation is here is to determine the man's ability and his efforts in carrying out the functions of the port. It was mentioned to this body, Mr. President, that recent newspaper articles exposed certain things, and in yesterday's Oregon Journal, one of those newspapers that exposed certain things said, Senate, you should reconfirm the appointment because of the man's abilities, because of his record. I hate to see this body deliberate so long over the suspicion of what someone might do because of his place on two or three different boards. Perhaps we should look at this body. Do any of us have any potential conflicts? I think the answer to that is obvious. We all have potential conflicts. But we are here because the people decided that we can represent them in a respectable way despite the conflicts or perhaps because of them. And I suggest to you that Mr. Green has demonstrated his abilities, that newspapers who have investigated his past abilities say that those abilities are the kind that should be on the port. Let's throw away all of the suspicion and all of the castigation on something that we think might happen, and yet go back to the record and confirm a man that has demonstrated his ability to carry out the job.
Thank you. Senator Ragsdale, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. The previous speaker took a great deal of my clothes, so I won't repeat what he said. The issue before us today is the issue that will be before us when we deal with the question of Senate approval of executive appointments. Is the man qualified? Is he the right person at the right time to serve in this appointment? We've had references today on the floor to some items that unfortunately were in the newspapers. We've had references today on the floor to some questions about the way the procedure on this appointment was handled. Some bad things happened. They were embarrassing to Punch Green. Some unsubstantiated innuendos that I'm embarrassed about as it relates to the process, and hopefully we'll learn by the way this was handled to handle the question of executive appointments better in the future. But the issue is Punch Green qualified? Yes, Punch Green is qualified. The issue is, should we confirm the governor's decision to appoint this qualified man to the Port of Portland? The issue of conflict of interest does not deal with the issue of qualification. And let me ask you, as I reference the issue of conflict of interest, is it a conflict of interest for a longshoreman to serve on the Port of Portland? Is it a conflict of interest for a high official in a Teamsters union to serve on the Port of Portland? Is it a conflict of interest for the governors to have an unannounced but long-standing policy to have labor represented, the business community represented, the financial community represented on the Port of Portland? Or is it an intelligent and wise way to balance a board to represent backgrounds and interests that give this port the viability and the strength that it's had under administrations of both Republican and Democrat? The question of serving on a savings and loan board, to me, is addressed better by saying, obviously the man is qualified. Obviously he has background, experience, and knowledge in more than just the businesses that he owns and runs, or he would not be on that board. Conflict of interest, if you stretch to the utmost the definition of conflict of interest, I suppose you can reach that conclusion. But therefore, you have to reach that same conclusion on any other individual residing in the state of Oregon whom a governor might determine should serve on that port. I think, therefore, Mr. President, members of the Senate, that we must deal with a major issue. Is Punch Green qualified? There's been nothing in the debate today to indicate that he's not. And that, Mr. President, is the reason that I believe that we ought to overwhelmingly confirm this executive appointment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Ragsdale. The question now arises then upon the confirmation of Alan Punch Green to the Port of Portland. Those who believe that the appointment should be confirmed will answer aye as their names are called. Those who are opposed will vote no. The clerk will now call the roll.
Wires?
No.
Brown?
No.
Bullock?
No.
Burbage?
No.
Cook?
No.
Day?
Aye.
Fadley?
No.
Gardner?
No.
Groner?
Aye.
Halleck?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Hannon?
Aye.
Hartung?
Aye.
Hurd?
Aye.
Isham?
Aye.
Jernstead?
Aye.
Kafoury?
Aye.
Kulongoski?
Aye.
McCoy? Meeker?
Aye.
Potts?
Aye.
Powell, excused. Ragsdale?
Aye.
Ripper?
Aye.
Roberts?
No.
Smith?
Aye.
Thorne?
Aye.
Trow?
Aye.
Wingard?
Aye.
President Boe?
Aye.
Voting no. Brown? Bullock? Cook? Fadley? Gardner? Roberts? Wires? Excused? Powell?
The appointment is confirmed. Senate will now take Senator Wingard. For what purpose do you rise? To
explain my vote and have it entered in the record.
You may.
Mr. President, it's my opinion the debate today should have centered around the statutes of port law, not around the individual. The problem that we're talking about today is one of statutory law, and it's one this session should address.
Senator Cook, going to your explanation of vote.
Right. Had this been a question of the appointment of an individual to serve at the pleasure of the governor, unless I were shown that he were guilty of a felony or something, I would have voted to confirm it. That's not what we had in this vote today. This person is elected as an independent official who does not serve at the pleasure of the governor. I was voting on the question of whether I wanted him to represent my constituency.
The Senate will now take action on the confirmation of the governor's appointment of John Blake Herring to the Port of Portland. The committee report recommending the confirmation was read at the last meeting of the Senate. The confirmation requires a majority vote of the Senate. Now recognize Senator Jernstedt.
Mr. President, I move the Senate confirm the appointment of John Blake Herring to the Port of Portland.
Senator Jernstedt now moves that the Senate confirm the...
I am glad to report that he's not a member of that notorious Board of Directors of Equitable Savings and Loan, and on top of that, he served in the United States Marine Corps, and therefore he has to be an excellent man.
Is there further discussion? There being none, the question now arises upon the confirmation of John Blake Herring to the Port of Portland. Those who believe that the governor's appointment should be confirmed will answer...
Kulongoski,
aye.
McCoy,
aye.
Meeker,
aye.
Potts,
aye.
Powell, excused, Ragsdale,
aye.
Ripper,
aye.
Roberts,
no.
Smith,
aye.
Thorne,
aye.
Trow,
aye.
Wingard,
aye.
Wires,
aye.
Wires, President Bowe,
aye.
Voting no, Roberts, absent, Burbidge.
Without objection, Senator Burbidge, how do you vote?
Absent, Wires.
The appointment is confirmed. Introduction, first reading of Senate petitions, memorials, and resolutions. Senator Groner, for what purpose do you rise?
Sure. Isn't there another appointment today of Mr. McAllister on the agenda?
I do believe you're correct. Without objection, we'll revert to the order of confirmation of executive appointments. And the Senate will now take action upon the confirmation of the governor's appointment of Robert L. McAllister's to the Workers' Compensation Board. The committee report recommending the confirmation was read at the last meeting of the Senate, and the vote requires a majority of the Senate. Senator Groner.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate confirm this governor's appointment of Robert McAllister to the Workmen's Compensation Board.
Senator Groner now moves that the Senate confirm the governor's appointment of Robert L. McAllister to the Workers' Compensation Board. Senator Groner.
Mr. President, Mr. McAllister is well qualified for the job. He joined Georgia Pacific in 1964 as manager of workers' compensation. He also was member of the Oregon Industrial Accident Advisory Committee since 1968 as a representative of health insurance employers of the state of Oregon. When asked by the junior senator from Lane County, why he would want the job as a member of the Workers' Compensation Board, his answer was, I don't want to move to Atlanta. We recommend his confirmation, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion? There being none, the question then now arises upon the confirmation of Robert L. McAllister to the Workers' Compensation Board. Those who believe that the appointment should be confirmed will answer aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bullock.
Aye.
Burbidge.
Aye.
Cook.
Aye.
Day. Fadley, Gardner,
aye.
Groner,
aye.
Halleck,
aye.
Hanlon,
aye.
Hannon,
aye.
Hartung,
aye.
Hurd,
aye.
Isham,
aye.
Hurt Jernstedt, Kafoy, Kulongoski,
Energy Conservation. Senate Bill 443 by Senators Wingard, Halleck, and others, and Representative Burr from Maya within the public transportation facilities, creating new provisions, amending R.S. 184.675, appropriating money, declaring emergency. Senate Bill number 445, pre-session file, request the Department of Education relating to special education for handicapped, amending R.S. 243.077. Senate Bill number 446, pre-session file, request the Department of Education relating to school district data processing systems, amending R.S. 246.081. Senate Bill 447, sponsored by Senator Halleck, request the Donald Assist Institute relating to education, amending R.S. 245.015 and others. Senate Bill number 451, Senator Trollope, request of Oregon Student Lobby Associated with students of Oregon State University relating to higher education, appropriating money. Senate Bill 453 by Senator Kulongoski, Halleck, and others, Representative Prestar and others, relating to landlord compensation. Senate Bill number 454 by Senator Kulongoski, Representative Prestar and others, relating to damages to unlawful employment practices, amending R.S. 659.230. Senate Bill 455 by Senator Kulongoski, Brown, and others, Representative Corey Starr and others, request to State Senate Oregon State Clients Council relating to Adult Family Services Division Office. Senate Bill 456 by Senator Kulongoski, Brown, and Corey Wires, and Representatives Corey Starr and others, request to Oregon State Clients Council relating to Adult Family Services Division. Senate Bill 457 by Senators Kulongoski, Brown, McCoy, and others, Representatives Corey Starr and others, request to Oregon State Clients Council relating to Adult Family Services Division Emergency Telephone Service. Senate Bill number 461 by Senator Brown, request the Oregon Bass and Sunfish Club relating to liability for recreational land use, amending R.S. 105.655.
Okay, thank you. Again, all bills on introduction and first reading are passed to second reading.